Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I'm your host, Elijah Carbajal. As a teacher, I know how important it is to stay informed and inspired, and that's one reason why I started this podcast. On the Shut Up and Teach podcast, we have honest conversations and purposeful reflections on all things educational, with the goal of inspiring you to take action in your classroom. Whether you're a new teacher just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, we've got you covered. If it's educational related, we're going to talk about it. So be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so that you can stay updated when new content is released. Now, it's time to shut up and teach.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I'm so thankful for you, whether this is your first time or whether you're returning back. Thank you so much for being here today. Today on the Shut Up and Teach podcast, I spoke with Annick Roque. Annick is a passionate first grade French immersion teacher, and she truly, truly is passionate about what she does. She's an avid runner, she blogs, and she's overall a lifelong learner who continues to follow her passions. Annick is the author of the newly released book called Phenomenal Teacher. And while it's got that word mom in the title, don't be swayed by that. This book is for everybody, and you'll get to hear why it's for everybody on this podcast. Outside of school, Annick is a very busy mom. She and her husband, Chris, have four boys that definitely keep her busy. She loves to go camping with her family, and she also makes it a priority to carve out time for trips with friends as well. Although Annick is very busy throughout the year and throughout the days, she doesn't let that stop her from pursuing her dreams outside of work and home life. On this episode, Annick mentions a lot of valuable lessons that she's actually instilling in her four boys at home. She's a phenomenal person, a phenomenal mom, a phenomenal teacher as well. So let's get right to our episode now with Annick Roque. All right, welcome back, listeners, and welcome Annick Roque. Did I say it correctly?
You got it. Yeah.
Roque. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Annick, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's a nice cold Saturday morning over here in New Mexico, but I've had a couple cups of coffee and I'm energized and got all the caffeine ready, so I'm ready to go.
That's awesome. I still have my coffee here, so we'll see.
Great. Yeah. Enjoy that coffee while we talk. No problem at all. All right. Annick, I wonder if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your educational evolution and kind of what that's looked like over time.
You bet. Well, thanks first so much for having me on, Elijah. I am honored and I'm always so excited to talk about my phenomenal methods. So my journey it really started when I was a student. I struggled a lot when I was young, and I had a few key teachers that really influenced me. And one of them was my grade two teacher, Madame Reynolds. And she was always my biggest cheerleader and supported me through all the highs and the lows, more lows than highs. And I just knew that I wanted to do that for other kids too. So decided to go right into teaching, and I have been teaching grade one my whole career now. That's about 13 years now. I'm just here because I just want to make a difference and help those kids that are especially not seeing themselves as great at school. So,
well, that's phenomenal. And you are first grade and you're a French, is it French?
Teacher? I teach French immersion. So that means that kids don't necessarily have the French language. So they come to school to learn French. And I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So we have two official languages here in Canada, French and English.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, great. That sounds like a great kind of evolution over time. And just, you know, it's great to always hear those impactful stories from the teachers that we had, right? About how they helped shape us or maybe change the direction that we were going in. So I always get fulfilled hearing those stories. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
now, we are here. We're here to talk about, of course, your story and all that. But you've also got a book out now, and that book is called Phenomenal. And that's published by Dave Burgess Consulting. Is that correct?
That's right. So the title is Phenomenal Teacher. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but I feel like as people continue to say it more, it just kind of starts to roll off the tongue. So it's been quite a journey to get it to this point, and it's been so exciting.
That's great. Could you take some time now to go ahead and talk about the backstory of it and kind of what that journey over time has kind of looked like? Mm-hmm. And then maybe just who is this book for and what's the message of the book? So
okay,
I'll pass it to you now.
I'll try to remember all those questions and wrap it up into one answer, but you can remind me if I forget.
Let's start with the story. Let's go with
you
that.
You bet.
Backstory.
So I have been blogging since 2016, I believe. It all started when I took the Innovator's Mindset Massive Open Online Course, the iMOOC by George Kouros. Mm-hmm. And that was based on his book, The Innovator's Mindset. And I was getting ready to prove that I deserved a spot at a new school that they were opening up, an innovative school. So I was really trying to dive in and learn all that I could. And George really pushed us to start blogging through that process. And so I did. My kids were really, really young at that point. I have four boys and my twins had just turned one. I was just going back to work. So I was really, really busy. But I found time to write and I discovered that it was an amazing outlet for me to process and reflect on what I had been learning. And I continued to blog. And through the years, what I noticed that it was really my personal and vulnerable blog posts that tended to resonate with a lot of people. And that's the ones that were hitting home and that people were commenting on and sharing out. And so I just got to a point where I realized this is kind of important and people are really finding value in it. So I started to wonder, well, would it be possible to put all of these things that I've learned into a book? And that's how Phenomenal Teacher was born. I just tried to pull in lessons that I've learned so far. I'm not done learning, but what I've learned so far through my life and just put it in a book. So this book is written, I did specifically write it for moms who are teachers, but it doesn't mean that men or dads or other people can't find value in it because the lessons that I share are really for everyone. But I do find that teachers and moms in particular, we have these extra expectations or weights that are placed upon us. And so I really wanted to target that and specifically address those for moms and women to try to help them through these super duper challenging roles.
That's incredible. And big connection. That's exactly how I got started writing my book, A Place They Love, was through blogging. And, you know, it's incredible to see, right? The connections that you just make through writing. And but it's like you said as well, like your personal ones, right? The ones that were kind of personal to you, those are the blogs that struck a chord mm-hmm. with so many people. So compiling this into a book is incredible. And I'm so excited for you and congratulations on that accomplishment there. So again, don't have to be a mom to read it. Anybody can get their hands on it. I know my copy is on the way. And so I'm really excited, but could you give our readers maybe kind of a sneak peek into it? Like what's the heart of the book, right? And what do you hope that the readers take away from this?
Right. So the subtitle is Pursue Your Dreams and Still Be Your Best Self at Work and at Home. And so the reason that I wrote this book is because, like I said, being a mom and a teacher is really challenging. And often we kind of put ourselves to the side and we only identify with either being a mom or being a teacher, but we are so much more than that. So this book, the way that I formatted it is 21 very short lessons or chapters, if you will. And you can look through the table of contents and see like, oh, what am I struggling with? Like, am I struggling with boundaries? Am I struggling with guilt? And you can kind of find it through there and then flip to that chapter and read it. Of course, you can read it cover to cover if you want, but I've also just wanted to specifically target certain difficult things. And then if you're having a hard time, then you can pick up the book and look at that chapter to help you out. And each chapter is really short for specific reasons because moms and teachers are really, really busy. So if you don't have much time, you can pick it up and quickly read a chapter, get something out of it. And at the end, I've also included little questions or prompts to help you reflect and implement change so that you can continue to propel forward. So I guess the heart of the book is that you are not defined by your titles, and you can still pursue your dreams aside from all of that. Like you are more than just a mom and a teacher. So continue to dream and chase after those.
I like that. Somebody had asked me a question about my book, and so I'm going to ask the same question to you. Is there a favorite chapter in the book for you, and why is that one your favorite? Or is it hard to choose?
Yeah, it's hard to choose for me because this is literally so personal. Like, my story is in this book. My incredible challenges, hard things that I've gone through are all in there, and what I've learned through it. So for me to pick a specific chapter, I don't know, maybe it might actually even be the introduction where I set it up and kind of tell the story of when I found out that I was going to be a mom of four and that journey, that kind of how it all played out. So interesting, but maybe the introduction.
Yeah. And a mom of four boys, you said, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. I'm the third of six kids, but they're five boys, and they're all the oldest. So my sister's the youngest of the siblings. So yeah, it was boy world for a long time until my sister came along, you know, and then
I'm glad that you got to disrupt that. The way that happened for us is that my husband
we love our sister to death. Yes.
Yeah, I bet. And you probably just try to protect her from anything, all her big brothers. I love that. So what happened for us was my husband and I, when we got married or when we got engaged, we had a lot of serious conversations. One of them was how many kids we wanted, and he wanted two and I wanted three. So the compromise was, well, if we have three of the same, or if we have two of the same sex, excuse me, we will go for a third. And so that's exactly what we did, because I follow my plan. And then we ended up having twin boys. So,
That's great. Mm-hmm. That is incredible. So, I've seen from my home life, how busy that can be, and how much energy, children can demand, and need from their parents. Right. I saw that because I was homeschooled. All my siblings were all homeschooled. So, my mom was, always, taking care of this need and then that need and then, everything like that. And it can be stressful, I imagine. So, as an individual, really, how do you find balance between all those things and kind of juggling, giving each person maybe what they need, but then still being the teacher and, the individual that you are? How do you balance all of that?
That is a hard question. And I think that the best answer is that I don't. I don't really believe in balance. I believe more in being centered, which I write about in my book. And so it doesn't need to be equal everywhere. Sometimes I need to give more at work. And so like that year where I opened up that new school, I was incredibly invested in work and was just less present at home. And that's okay. Like I used to carry a lot of guilt around that, but in the end it taught my boys a lot. And it's not always like that. Like now things have settled a little bit more, so I'm more present at home and I have time for myself again. But it's also about, like, people look at me and they wonder how I do all that I do, but it's also that working for me fills me up. It's kind of like a form of self-care for me because I do love it so much. And it doesn't mean that everybody has to be like that. But when I'm at work prepping or working late or blogging or recording podcasts or writing my book, that's not like an added thing. It fills me up. So it's like, well, somebody might go to yoga or somebody might play hockey or somebody might go golfing or go out with friends for a drink. And so for me, it's just a way of filling me up. And something that I discovered, so I write in my book that I went through a depression and I ended up having to take some time off work. And that was just because all of my flames had gone out. And I was really struggling with how do I change what it was that I was doing before that led me to where I am now, which was not a good place. And so I was looking at my values and where my energy was going. And one of the things that I realized was I was struggling to try to do all of the things with my, like at home and like keeping up with laundry and all of the chores and homework and all of that. So through my leave, I was able to put things in practice that helped me manage those things a little bit better. So one of the things that I did was I put together a chore bucket is what I call it. So I went to the dollar store and I got some buckets and I got some popsicle sticks that were four different colors. So each of my boys had a color. And their chores are written or drawn on these sticks. And there was a to-do bucket and a done bucket. So every morning I could put the sticks in their in the to-do bucket that they needed to do for that day. And that could depend. If they had library that day, then maybe the pack my library books chore stick would go in there. If they had hockey, maybe pack their hockey bags was in there. Maybe pick up dog poop or take the dog for a walk or have a bath or shower or do your homework. Put away your school bag. All those little things that I used to have to nag them over that drained my energy would go in that bucket. And then they knew that that's what they needed to do when they came home from school before they got their allotted screen time. So that's like one example of something that I did that helped me juggle all of these things that a mom and a teacher has to do.
But you know, as you know, as teachers, that's one of the things that I was taught was don't do for kids what they can do themselves, right? Like if that's something that they can do, don't spend your energy doing that. So you found a way to kind of apply that to this situation with the chores, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's very like, you know, it's interesting because I worked with one of my best friends and she's a teacher mom as well. And, you know, I see the, you know, the mom side kind of come over into the teaching world. And then the teaching world, she talks about her home life. And it's like, I can see the teaching going into the home life as well. And so it's incredible just to see all this that you're doing and, you know, teaching your kids and all that. Is there so I was wondering about this. So as a mom, what's the legacy you hope to leave behind for your kids?
Oh, that is a good one.
Because this wasn't a planned question. I'm just seeing like the impact right now that you're having on your boys is is phenomenal and I'm excited about it. So that's what kind of sparked this question. So yeah. Sorry to interrupt. I'll let you continue with that.
I think that if there's anything that I want them to grow up knowing is that they shouldn't cater their whole lives to their kids. And I think that that is something that moms tend to do. And it's because we want the best for our kids, right? We want to give them everything. And we think that we should be the selfless being. When in fact, when you are taking care of yourself and you are doing things for yourself, you are teaching your kids that they should do the same themselves. And I can't remember exactly the words, but Glennon Doyle has a quote that says something like, you want to save yourself and not let others save you so that your kids will grow up to know how to save themselves and not rely on others for all of these things. So that's really one of the things that I really hope that my boys will learn from me. And it's a work in progress, like it's hard to put yourself first sometimes when you are this moms and teachers, especially educators, they just care for others so much. And so to try to put yourself first and reminding yourself that when you do that, it's paying dividends. Like you will then fill up your cup and then we'll have more to give to others. And that my boys will grow up knowing that that is something that they should strive towards as well. And I share a story in my book that, kind of reinforces this. I was really struggling with this guilt piece that I was carrying. So through the pandemic, I started running a lot more. And I built up and eventually started training for a half marathon. And I was feeling really guilty about all this time that I was needing to put into my running, my training. and leaving my boys at home to pursue this dream of mine. And then it all became clear. We were camping one night and my husband and I were doing the dishes outside, and my boys were setting up their next game. So they were around the bay and they had chalk and they put a long line across the road and they were saying, okay, all we have to do is run around the bay and it's not about speed, it's about stamina. We're going to cheer each other on. Nobody can walk. Like, we just want to run the whole way. And that moment was an aha moment for me, because I thought, oh, I've been feeling so bad about all this time that I'm taking away from them while I run. But like, look at this lesson that they learned. They are now running and playing a game and cheering each other on like me and my friends do. And they are learning that it's okay to put yourself first. In fact, you should, because when you do, you're better for others.
Yes, that's incredible. I love that answer. And I love just how much you're modeling for your boys as well. That's great. So thank you for that. Last question before we get to our three-part question, just about teaching in general. I've been asking folks this, but what do you enjoy the most about teaching?
Oh, so hard. Okay, can I give two answers?
You can give as many answers as you
want. Okay. First thing is the connection piece. Like, I just love to see and build that relationship with kids. And when I cross them in the hall, when they've long gone and are in grade 3 or 4 or 5 or even 6, and they're still like, oh, madame, I loved when I was in your class. And just that relationship piece that you build with them stays with them. And I just, it makes, especially in grade 1, they grow so much from the beginning of the year to the end. And I really feel so blessed and privileged to see that and be a part of the reason why they have grown so much. So that's part one. Second, I've been really enjoying teaching kids literacy these days. I've been diving a lot and learning more about like all things literacy. And it just makes me so happy to be able to say, like, I taught these kids how to read and write, and look at the progress that they've made. So those would be my two.
Oh, I love that. My reading interventionist heart is super happy with that response, because that's where I'm at. It's like, let's dive into literacy. And you know, I nerd out on, you know, the science of reading and all that.
Yes,
so,
me too.
Yeah. I love it. What's it?
The rope. And all that. Yep. And I'm OG trained or in Gillingham trained. Like, oh, just all the things. Uh-huh. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, I love it. Such a great conversation. And Anik, thank you so much for your time. Before we wrap up, though, you know, we have the three-part question now at the end. So let our listeners know, please, what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you watching? And you can answer in any order.
Okay. I will start with what I'm listening to. As a very busy mom, I need often something chill, except when I'm running, then I like my rap. But when I'm writing report cards and I'm just hanging out, I really like Canyon City. I feel like they're maybe a little bit less well known, but if you find them on Spotify, I just love their playlist. They're just so zen, and I just makes me happy. Books that I'm reading. I'm going to go back to 3 that I read through the summer that I really enjoyed. I took a break from educational books and tried to focus on just reading for pleasure. And so I read 3 thrillers that were awesome. It was The Silent Patient, The Kind Worth Killing, and Woman on the Edge, I think. So those were really fun to read. And watching, I am currently watching The Crown, because I think that the latest season just came out with Princess Di. So we're in the middle of watching that. But I have to go back to my all-time favorite, which is Ted Lasso. And I feel like a lot of your guests have been talking about Ted Lasso. But like, I have to, because if anybody knows me, like, I've, through the pandemic, have gotten a little obsessed with my plants. And all my plants have named, and they're named after Ted Lasso characters. So I had to talk about Ted Lasso.
We love Ted Lasso. We were late to the game on that. We didn't watch it until it was like fully released and all that. Mm-hmm. But we watched it in like a weekend, because it was so good. And then I'm pretty sure my wife went back and watched it like a second time herself. It's become her favorite show. But great pick. I love that.
So good. Like, I could rewatch it over and over again. Anytime I need to pick me up, it's Ted Lasso.
Yeah. You sparked another question about the like running and all that, because I picked up running over the pandemic, and I haven't been able to run lately because of some foot pain and all that. But you said you listen to rap, and that's funny because that's what I would listen to too. For me, it was like an experiment. Like when I started, it was like, okay, what music can I run to that will help me focus? Like I tried like punk and, mm-hmm. you know, metal and just like classic rock and, you know, all this. And then it hit rap and I was like, ooh, that kind of like, I get into a groove with that. So
totally.
Yeah, just a connection there. But do you have a favorite, like when that rap song comes on, like, ooh, I'm going.
My favorite, all-time favorite, is 99 Problems by Jay-Z. So good.
nice. And yeah. A good, I don't know if all of it or part of it was written by Ice-T.
Oh, I did not know that. I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember if it was like all of it or if it was like a verse, but he said part of it was written by Ice-T. So
okay.
It's a little fun little backstory there. So check it out.
Yeah, I will. I will have to. Thank you.
Anik, thank you so much for your time. This has been such an enjoy. And I've enjoyed this conversation so much. And I know our listeners have as well. So before we sign off, how can our listeners get in touch with you, connect with you, and where can they get the book?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I always love talking about my book and just getting to chat education with other people. Like, now we have this structured literacy bond and rap mm-hmm. and running. So yes. So people can find me on X, Twitter, and Instagram at Anik Roach, which is AnnikRauch. And my website is my name as well, anikroach.ca, because I'm Canadian. The hashtag for my book is phenomenal. So with the M instead of the N in phenomenal. And they can find my book on Amazon.
Great.
It's easier to find if you search my name, because it tends to autocorrect to phenomenal teacher. So,
all right, search Anik Roach.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, perfect. All right, thank you, Anik, so much for your time again, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you so much for your time as well. I hope you share out this podcast episode. I hope you get Anik's book and just dive into the wonderful things that she has to share with us. So thank you for your time, and we'll see you on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I hope that you'll check out previous episodes, and I hope that you'll share this with a friend or a colleague.